Hello.
Hey guys.
We're back again.
We're back.
It's your girl, Brittany, and
your other girl, B.
Say your name, B. It's Black Girls Laughing.
Here with the dope takes.
Back. Damn it, I was trying to say it. Here with the dope takes on current events. Black Girls Laughing.
To keep you woke. Keeping you awake. Woo.
Yo, that's us.
So.
How you doing, girl?
Good. I was going to say, do y'all miss us? We had 2 weeks off. Unexpectedly 2 weeks. But also expectedly 2 weeks, I think.
We said something. We warned y'all that we would be gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, so did you miss us? We missed you. I know we missed you.
Well, thank you to all of our new listeners that have been giving us love on Twitter, because I noticed y'all just enjoying that last episode, sending us love, acting like we're best friends. Like, it's so beautiful. I love that you feel that we are friends in the way that, like, yes, I feel like we're friends. In the way that I feel that I'm friends with all the podcasts that I listen to, like, I want y'all to feel the same way about us, and you guys do, and it makes me feel good. So, yay, love you guys.
We are friends. Like, you can't not be our friends now. Too bad. Too late. Sorry. But I will say, since we didn't record, that meant Brittany and I weren't doing our weekly friend date, so that was sad, and I missed that.
Yeah, and you got to hang out with my husband, and that made me extra sad.
Yeah.
Jordan went to Philly for like 3 days, and he went on like 3 different friend dates with all of my favorite people, and I was just like, oh. And he would send me like at each friend date, he sent me selfies of like him and the friend, and I was like, him and B, and I was like, oh, isn't that special? Yay, I'm happy y'all are having a friend time.
going to Bonchan so he can listen to me freak out about the BBMAs and BTS winning a Billboard Music Award. Yeah, that was...
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That was an exciting time for us K-pop fans.
That happened. Billboard Music Awards happened, and K-pop was represented.
Yeah, by my faves, my ultimate faves. So it was an exciting time. And then I ate chicken. I got to eat chicken, eat ice cream, hang out with Jordan, and still get home in time to see them win the award. So it was really like a wonderful day.
You won that day.
I really did. It was just great. It was perfect.
That's awesome.
So how are you? What's new?
Oh, what's new? You know, just working, which has been going great. You know, I go through these ups and downs, and I've been in like a steady up with work, which has been nice. That's been cool. Been hiking, got some hiking in. It's been dope. I always love a chance to be out in nature. But things have been really cool on the Black Girls Laughing front in the past 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a live show, guys. Like, for real. For real. We've been, like, talking about wanting to do one. And we submitted to be a part of Philadelphia Podcast Fest. And we were invited to be a part of it. So, on Sunday, July 23rd, Black Girls Laughing will be live at Tattooed Moms at 6 p.m. It's a free show, guys. So y'all should show up and hang out.
We've been talking about it for a while. We wanted to plan one when Brittany was still here. We actually even wanted to have it at Tattooed Moms, which is awesome. So I hope that all of you that have listened, that have said you wanted to talk to us and meet us and hang out with us, come grab a drink. They have really great food, specifically their tater tots. Grab some Tattooed Mom tater tots and laugh with us in person. I cannot wait to see some of you, to see as many of you as we can at one time and have a live show. It's gonna be so much fun.
Yeah, and like the podcast festival is gonna be great. You know, it's 55 plus podcasts that are going to be doing live shows over 8 venues across Philadelphia. It starts on July 14th, and we are closing it out on the 23rd. So, yeah, come check it out. We're going to be letting you know if there's like going to be other stuff that we're going to be doing. Because we're like sort of like figuring out what we can do for this show. So, you know, continue to listen to us and get, and we'll have different updates on what our live show is going to be about. But it's free, but maybe we'll do something. If you like register with us, you get something special. So we'll see. We'll see what we can do. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
And then if you can't come to the show, we'll be getting a recording of it. And so that will be our show. I mean, we're literally recording when we usually record too, which I love about it.
Perfect that it's, timing.
We're just moving it to Tattooed Moms for the day.
Which is, yay. Yeah. And you're going to be able to hear people laughing, hopefully, with us. So that'll really make the experience of Black girls laughing, like, even more. Like, there will be other Black girls in the audience laughing with us. So that'll be really exciting. And I'm really excited because Brittany will also be back in Philadelphia. So we'll be the dynamic duo. Yay! Once again, recording together in the same room. It'll be great.
I'm so excited, guys. I need this Philly trip. So I miss Philadelphia and I miss my friends the most. So it's gonna be the bomb. Yay.
Woohoo! Exciting. Woo. All right.
What's going on with you?
You know, keeping busy. I start a new job next month.
Woo! Yay! Yeah, girl! Get paid!
So, as you guys know, I've spent the last going on 6 months, half a year, unemployed. And I just accepted a position. Not going to fully disclose all of my information just yet. But it's something definitely worth holding out for, and I really think it's going to steer me in the direction that I've been wanting to go in terms of arts and culture and working in the community and supporting people that do work that is really important, whether it's important to me or important to specific groups of people. So that's really exciting. And the timing is just crazy, and I had a therapy session where I told my therapist, and I started crying, because I was like, if it wasn't for things, like I literally said, if it wasn't for things like Black girls laughing, or running, or just, you know, knowing that I have things like this as an outlet, I wouldn't have made it these past few months being unemployed and being mm-hmm. really stressed out. So I'm really thankful for you guys of listening to me talk about it, to interacting with me on my journey of trying to find a new job and my journey of being unemployed and redefining my self-worth outside of an occupation, which I've said before and will say again, far too many of us, all of us, I feel like, are pretty much brainwashed into associating mm-hmm. the two too much. So thank you to everyone that listens to us and that has talked to me. And of course, as always, thank you to Brittany for being really supportive, cheering me on, being a great ear, as always. I mean, that's why I do this podcast with you, and that's why you're one of my dear friends, because you're a wonderful, wonderful pillar of support. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Aww.
I'm so happy for you. I mean, like, you know, I know. So, it can't be more of a more perfect next step for you. And I, as someone that went through being unemployed for an extended period of time, it's a burden. But then once you get through it, you recognize the gift of that time to, like, be able to reevaluate, like everything that you already said, to be able to really think about who you are and what you want to be doing for the next however many years. I mean, it will change. The life course will change because of new experiences, but this is it's a great reflection, especially like right in the middle of your 20s. And like, I don't know, I feel like the second half of your 20s is like the gear up for the 30s, like for the 30s where adulthood is crystallized in an even different way. So, like, yeah. Woohoo. I'm just so happy for you, girl. Yay.
We made it.
You made it. You did it. You got this. And what I'm excited for you is what other things you'll be able to build on top of it.
Me too.
You know, it's because it's not just that. It's not just having a job. It's about the life you want to have.
Yes.
Yay.
So that's my super emo thing. Well, my first super emo thing for today, because y'all know I like to get emo on this show. All the emotions. But yeah, that's what's new. And then podcast festival, excited to see my friend in July. And yeah, excited to be recording today. I missed this.
Yeah. So
let's get a crack-a-lackin'. We're gonna
go right into the John.
Yeah.
John time.
It's John time.
Okay. So I want to kick it off with a congratulations to all of our beautiful graduates out there. If you graduated from high school, kindergarten, graduate school, college, if you got to take that tassel and bring it to the other side, and you, after years of hard work, congratulations to you. And you know, as every graduation season, you get a lot of successful people out and about giving commencement speeches. First things first, we got to cackle because we were gone when this happened. But Betsy, Queen of the White Ladies, DeVos, went to a historically black college. We all know, we all heard about this, to give a commencement speech. So she went to Bethune-Cookman, which is a HBCU, and she had the nerve to say that HBCUs are the original example of school choice. HBCUs that were created because white people did not want black people in their institutions. We had to create our own in order to have the educated population that we have. What the hell? Anyways, stupid woman went to give a speech where she was booed because when no one wanted that to happen. All those graduates were like, hell, why would you pick her? Why don't you pick people, to the deans, whoever made the decision, to the board of directors or whatever at Bethune-Cookman, why would you pick this woman? Why would you pick anyone from the Trump administration to do the commencement speech? A commencement speech should be for the graduates. So someone that they will be able to be uplifted from to be excited for the next steps in their lives. how is Betsy DeVos anything for any black person graduating from school and trying to better themselves, especially when she's trying to do all these crazy cuts to education, when she's trying to take away, you know, student loan forgiveness for public service work, you know, all the things that are going to adversely affect black people that try to serve their communities. So, whatever. But thank you to those lovely people to the graduates,
yes,
that booed and showed their disdain. Same thing happened to Mike Pence. He had the nerve to go back to Indiana, his homeland, and do the commencement speech. I believe it was at
Notre Dame.
At Notre Dame, yeah, at Notre Dame. And a huge group of students just walked out during his speech. They were like, "Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Pence." And as he's walking to the stage, people just got up and walked the hell out of the stadium. They're like, "We don't need your speech. We did not ask for you. No one sent for you." And I love that it was so many people that, again, you know, he had these very anti-LGBTQ laws allowing people to discriminate against people based off of their sexual orientation in their businesses. He created laws of religious protection to make it legal for people to discriminate against the LGBTQ community. And so the students that did not stand for the policies that he brought to the state that they went to school for the past 4 years or more, and for all of the things that the Trump administration is trying to disseminate on our land, they walked out in protest, and it was a beautiful protest. It was the way that a protest is. It still allowed him to do his speech, but it showed that they're disdained and that they didn't want to hear it. So it was great. So this brought me to thinking about, like, what would we want to have heard at our graduations. You know, I graduated from Dickinson College in 2009.
Starting
to feel like a long time ago. Huh?
During the recession.
What? During the recession. It was a hot damn mess to graduate at that time. But, you know, since then, I have lived my life as an adult somewhat successfully. Same thing with you, B. You graduated. What year did you graduate from college?
I graduated from college in 2013.
Again, just out the recession. Right into that. Actually, when the real impact of the recession happened. Because, like, the recession hit in 2008, 2009, but, you know, people that graduated in my year, we were able to still get jobs right out of school. It's 2012, 2013 that really got that slap.
Yep.
that really got it. So, I don't know. I was thinking, like, we could talk about what we would want to say, what we would want it to hear at that time, or what advice do we want to give to the class of 2017?
My thing goes for any graduate at any level, really. No one has it all figured out. No one. I don't care how old they are. I don't care how fancy their house or car. They might have lots of money, but that doesn't mean they have their relationships figured out or their mental health figured out, or maybe they struggle with something else and they hide it with money or something. I guess you want all of these pieces of a puzzle to come together, but in reality, there will always be a piece missing. Like, you don't get to complete the puzzle until I really think you look back at certain moments. And there's multiple puzzles, and you don't really see the completed puzzle until you're looking back and being like, yeah, I didn't have this piece for a while, but at the end, like, it fit. The puzzle still came together. It still created this full picture. And I think it's important to remind yourself of that. That no matter, like, how you're flexing for the gram or doing whatever, or you see other people doing it, I promise you, they do not have everything figured out. And you won't either, no. And that's okay. That's absolutely okay. So that's my thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to my cousins. One of my cousins, she's just graduating from high school, and she's going to be going off to study environmental engineering. So, girl, smart. It's doing better things than me. I'm like, girl. She was like explaining some of the stuff that she wanted to do, and I was just so impressed with it because I didn't understand it. But but I could get it. But I was like, girl, you go, girl. That is a different path. One of the things that I was so proud of her when she was explaining is that she's going to her college early, and she's meeting with the other students of color in her program, and they've decided to do this on their own, and they're setting up their science labs so they can work together as a cohort. They're sitting down and doing planning together for what they're trying to accomplish in the next 4 years, and they're going to be bringing together all of their melanin awesomeness to be ready to just dominate in the next 4 years. And I was like, that is the smartest thing I have ever heard. I wish when I was 18, I even had like a molecule of that type of foresight. Like, as I went in, like, oh, what cool shit's gonna be in my dorm? That was my biggest goal going into college in 2005, was like, how can I trick out my room? Like, how am I gonna make friends? Not how am I going to dominate academically, and like already thinking about creating that cohort of people that's gonna be your safety net. And so like, that's something that I wish was advice that I got. So like, my first thing is just like, find your people and get ready to work hard with them. The people that are ready to work with you are going to be the ones that are going to stick. And they're not going to all be your best friends. It's not all about making a bunch of best friends, but it's about people that complement your skill set, people that challenge you, and that people are going to push you forward. And at first, some of those people are going to feel a little bit like enemies or adversaries. But when you take that time to get to know them and see and create that connection of like, this is the work that we want to do together, and create those shared goals, true friendships will truly be made. Because again, when you go into, especially when you're going into to college or undergrad, there's an idea of creating those like superficial relationships. It's all about like getting quote unquote friends or having a cool group to be a part of. Focusing on that on the academics and on the actual end goal of school, of setting yourself up for the next step, and finding those people that are going to be a part of that with you, not just the ones that are going to be ready to hold your hair. Those friends are great too, but the ones that are gonna also tell you, girl, it's time to study. Girl, we got a test tomorrow. How are we gonna get this shit done? Because I know I did not set myself up right with the right friends for those goals. Party goals, yes, but not those goals.
Yep.
Other things to think about, it's just, especially when you're getting out of college and you're moving into that step of like going into you're making those decisions of like, do I want to go to graduate school? I'm starting my life. question what seems responsible. I think we're all used to this, like, idea of, okay, I go to college so I can get a job, and whatever that 9-to-5 is going to be, well, then I've made it. It's done. No, question that. Is that the life you truly want to live? And were the people that you saw that replicated that life for you, maybe you're following the example of parents, aunties, cousins that have done X that led to Y, that led to Z, maybe you want to go to number 39. And like, that's where you want to go to. It's not X, it's not Y, it's not Z, but you want to go to rainbow. You go do that. You make those decisions. Question that. Question those ideas of what responsibility is, because they're being crushed every single day. And people, the young people that have this world greeted to them, I think that we're proving time and time and again through multiple channels, through seeing how, you know, the United States as it exists is crumbling under racism and patriarchy, that like certain systems are not meant to live forever. So, or certain ideas are not the same anymore. So figure out what your truth is, what your life was wanting to be, and say no to those next steps that seem inevitable. Explore, get lost. All those kind of like cliche things that we hear, you definitely should try to do those things. Don't take those with a grain of salt and be like, well, I'm just going to focus on my hustle. Yes, it's time to focus in on your hustle, but also it's also time to take a chance. A lot of y'all probably haven't failed yet. You haven't. Because it hasn't been an option for you. Failure hasn't been an option when you're in a school setting, an academic setting. There isn't an incentive to fail, because a failure equals an F, and you're so used to this A B C D F paradigm of life. Life doesn't work that way, and actually failures are actually a space for you to learn. So take that time to fail, and don't be afraid of failure. Try a thing. And then also don't be afraid to quit a thing because it might not work out. You might want to be a doctor. Your parents might have been telling you that the next step will be medical school. Maybe you get there, you don't like it. It's okay to say no. It's going to be tough if you know money and stuff, but it is okay to say no than to go down 7 years and at the end spend all that money and know that you don't want to do that and then completely pivot then. So be okay with failing and be okay with making that pivot whenever it seems like it's necessary for you to do it. Yeah. And then, you know, don't be afraid to do the last one. It would just be like, don't forget to take time to rest. 100% rest, where you are not thinking about, not sitting, not time to plan. Because sometimes, and I know I'm guilty of this too, my rest time is strategy time. No, that's not resting. That isn't resting. Take time to think about nothing. Take time to read a trashy book. Take time to watch, you know, whatever reality show that you love. Take time to just sit. Like, literally just sit. It is restorative. It is what you need. And we live in a world where it's like always go, go, go. How can I get another picture for the gram? How can I have another experience to share with my network to show people that I'm doing awesome things? No. Be alone. Sit. Rest. It's even simpler than just that taking those acts of self-care. It's also taking acts of doing not a damn thing. Because even sometimes taking an act of self-care can create other anxiety and can put too much pressure on those things too. But just doing nothing and just going on complete like rest mode,
shutting down.
Just like I am just sitting thinking about nothing, shut down, like not sleep, just done is will help you.
Yeah.
It's not always go to class and go to that party. It's not always finish work to get to the bar. It might just be finish work so I can just sit my ass down. So, yeah.
Yeah. Don't move for a minute. Just don't move.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit with yourself. Sit with yourself, which is hard. People don't know how to do that.
It's so hard.
Sometimes I still don't know how to do that. Like, in a room alone, you ain't looking at anybody else. You're not on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just.
That's a lot of golden advice, and I hope that whoever's listening, I mean, shoot, some of that advice, like, goes beyond just graduation, but I think in particular, the pressures of, like, this is my XYZ next step because I just did XYZ before is, like, at an all-time high around graduation.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish all of you new graduates the absolute best. You're gonna kill it.
Yay!
You're gonna kill it.
I'm obsessed with black girls that are graduating from high school right now.
Because they're amazing.
Because they're just so fearless in a way that I don't even understand. Their perspective on the world is completely different. That I want to study them. I want to meet them. I want to know what's going on in their lives. Like, I am obsessed with these girls. I mean, I read my Teen Vogue because I want to know about these girls that are killing the game.
Teen Vogue is the only reliable source for news and grade A journalism in 2017.
And then, like, hope, too. It's, like, it's good journalism with hope behind it because these kids, they are living in the same bullshit that we are, you know, anxious about. And they are taking that anxiety and moving the needle that I'm, like, excited to see what they're going to do for the world. I have more hope for them. I have a lot more hope. I have a lot of hope for them. No, there's, and I don't even completely understand how different they are and how lucky they are in terms of what they can do in the future. But yeah. We got another John. And I think we talked about this before a little bit. Because I know we talked about this Twitter thing. So, a while ago, there was a Tumblr post that turned into a tweet that went pretty viral with a picture of Lupita Nyong'o and Rihanna at a show at Fashion Week, and someone wrote this tweet that was like, this looks like Rihanna is someone that scams white guys, and Lupita is her, like, smart friend that, like, helps her, like, work it all out in the background, like, doing all the tech work for her. And that went viral, and, like, Rihanna and Lupita joined in on, like, the hilarity of, like, how funny that movie would be. And people were like, Ava should direct it, and Issa Rae should write it, and people were like, yeah, I'll sign on for that. Yeah, let's totally do that. That thing is actually happening. That conversation is that Twitter conversation is turning into a movie. Netflix has picked it up. It will be a Netflix original movie. starring Rihanna and Lupita Nyong'o, directed by Ava. I'm not sure about written by Issa Rae, but what the hell?
Yeah, I don't know if Issa Rae's allowed.
What the hell?
With her HBO contract.
You don't know if she's a, with her HBO contract? That makes sense. Yeah. But what's interesting is that the ladies that started this, who they are also having their own conversation, like, who's the originator? Because it's, there was a Tumblr post that's, like, that's dated a while back, and then there's also the Twitter, the Twitter post that actually went viral. Who thought of it first? And so they're sort of, like, having conversations with their own legal people about that. But there's going to be money made off of an, like, off of someone's
idea.
Shit posting on social media. And it makes me really think about, like, how, I mean, we've talked about this before. We talked about it with On Fleek. With Eyebrows On Fleek, and how she's never going to make money off of that. And it's, and like, we're going to show, we're going to link and show you guys this, this post that Vice wrote about this. They're going to get some, they're going to get credit for the store, but they're not going to make any money for it. They're not going to be written into these contracts. So you gotta really think about protecting your narrative, protecting your ideas and your stories. And like, yeah, of course, tweet, have fun, have these great things. But the ideas that are super duper important, you need to put them on your website. Not on Mark Zuckerberg's website. Not on whoever owns Twitter's website. But you need to put that on your stuff and protect that, where they, where it will be protected by your copyright, your privacy policies, your protection of your portion of the internet. Because if you're putting it on, if you're putting all that stuff on social media and someone else takes it, you have no recourse. So, but then that's the lesson from this. It's exciting that we're crowdsourcing ideas and they turn into something that they're going to turn into an actual movie. But it's also sad that they're not going to make any money off of their idea.
Yeah, I have started even watermarking crap I make for Tumblr. Because who knows, like, when I come up with something brilliant one day and someone's like, oh, I'm going to take that. Like, no, my watermark.
You got to be proactive.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I'm only speaking from, like, K-pop specific things, is, like, you gotta put your watermark right in the center of that photo so they can't crop it out. So I'm really obnoxious with my watermarks of, like, it will be under the chin of your favorite face in this photo because you're not gonna cut his head out of this photo, so you're gonna know that it's my, I took that, I spent money on that concert ticket to take a picture of your fave on my camera. So you're going to see my watermark.
Yeah. No, you have to do that. People will snatch it left and right. Yep. I think about my my friend that has, that, like, she does a lot of photos of her kids on Instagram, and they're adorable, and they're very viral. And, like, she has her watermark all over those photos. So someone just can't take it and use it in the promotion of whatever their kids' line is. Like, people do that. People are, I mean, good marketers steal. Good artists steal. So you want to be, you want to protect yourself for the people that are out there trying to make a buck and keep things moving.
Yep. So watermark everything. Watermark your
tweets. But I'll be watching that movie. I can't wait to see it. Because that was a damn good idea. I can't wait to have this, this, what, this black woman heist film. Yeah.
The first time I saw it was on Tumblr. So
it's like old on Tumblr too.
So that's the, like, the thing is, like, especially if you're going to put your content on Tumblr, is a lot of times I see content being stolen from Tumblr and being put on Twitter. So watermark, y'all. Watermark.
It jumps all over. It ends up on... One of my favorite things is, like, seeing, like, when will something from Tumblr get to Facebook?
Yeah.
When will something that originates from Facebook get to Twitter? When will something... Like, it all jumps all over the place.
I sometimes put shit posts from Tumblr on my Facebook, and I always try and keep the source when I take the screenshot. Actually, you always keep the source when I take the screenshot, because I'm like, I didn't come up with this, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. You know... It's that time, y'all, to just watermark your selfies. I don't know.
I mean, the internet is the wild, wild west. I mean, one of my friends, she just saw herself. Well, no, someone saw her on Tinder. Someone took her photo and said that she was like Zoe 22. And like, this girl's got like a very long-term boyfriend. She is far past the age of 22. She is well, at least someone thinks that I'm younger. At least I know I can pass for 22, but you should be careful. I mean, it's the internet's the wild, wild west, and there's not a lot of rules about that. So if you don't protect yourself, you're gonna find your face all over the place.
Yeah, which is terrifying and scary. But anyway, that's a conversation we could have forever. I mean,
for hours. Yeah.
So I think it's just a reminder to watermark all of your stuff, and yeah, that's it.
And get your own website.
Yes. And put all your content on there too. Like, right when you make it, like, even if you have a Tumblr and you know you want to be a content creator, like, whatever you post on Tumblr should automatically be on your website too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Tumblr, Medium, all those things. If it's not linking back to your home base, and this is from our third or fourth episode, I talked about, if you're building your brand, if you're creating content, you need a home base for it. Like, we put all our content on for Black Girls Laughing on SoundCloud, but one, we have an archive of all of our episodes, and all of it also lives on our website, blackgirlslaughing.com.
Yeah, it always links
back. So you have to have it on multiple places.
Just keep it in check, y'all.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the John.
It's a John. It's a John. Craziness.
So I guess we just go right into the next thing.
Cut, cut, chop, chop, cut this.
Chop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so You Better Work is back for a week.
Woo! Cheers and applause.
Yay! So there was an article on Blavity that inspired me for this You Better Work. It's from Jonathan Jackson. And he was talking about, and the name of the article is Why I Don't Bring My Whole Self to Work. I suggest you guys look into it. It's in their tech and technology opinion work. And it's very much focused on the tech world. But I think it, for Black millennials who are, you know, going to our offices every single day and going into white majority spaces for our work, for our paycheck. I think it's a question worth asking. Do you bring your whole self to the workplace? And by your whole self, I'm really pinpointing on the totality of your Black identity. Do you bring that into the space, or do you tailor it to the white audience that is there to or do you shield a part of yourself to protect yourself from potential backlash and criticism? And then the question on top of that is, like, when do you start revealing your full self? And what do you have to see at a company to feel comfortable of showing your full self? Or do you just continue to compartmentalize your identity from your place of work versus your general existence? And I've been thinking about that a lot because, you know, I started this new job in February, and the space is completely different from where I used to work. And I don't know. I know that personally, like, during the working process, like during the hiring process, I brought up things that I knew were important to me. So I brought up, those times where you get to ask questions of the company, because again, you're not just asking for a job, you're trying to make sure there's a good fit, right? So I asked the question, hey, what are your diversity, equity, inclusion policies? What are you trying to do to make your organization more diverse? What do the words diversity, equity, inclusion mean to you? And that I use those terms to feel more like it's a way of making me feel like for me to like vet them. And based on those answers, you know, it was the whole reason why I was able to move forward with a job. Like if they said the wrong things, I probably wouldn't have been able to move forward with that job. But then also letting them know like what I'm about very early. But now that I'm in the job and, you know, you still want to include those parts of your identity and you want to have those conversations, but how do you start those conversations, or do you want to start those conversations? And I'm like really have been battling with it at my job. I don't have any answers, but all I know is that no, I do not bring my full self to a job, my full identity to that job until I get to know the people there, and people get a little bit of layers of me if we go out for drinks or we get to have that more like personal relationship. I mean, think about our times when we were working at the same place. Be like, I think all of our relationships with the people there, we were able to be more and more ourselves when we would have those times away from the office to truly vent and talk about things and have real talk about life. And then when you think about, you know, all of the terrible things that come into the news, all the trauma that we have to go through, feeling comfortable even bringing up those things in the office, I don't know right now at my new job if I'm completely comfortable of saying some of the things that I said at my old job, of being able to say it, to take a mental health day based off of what's been happening in the news and feeling comfortable with that. I don't know if I could do that, like if I would be comfortable doing that at my job right now. Thankfully, and also, even though the news has still been terrible, it hasn't gotten to the point where I've felt like I couldn't go into work because of trauma after trauma after trauma. So I push the question to you, B. Like, do you bring your whole self to work?
No. I really don't know that I bring my whole self to, like, anything except for my really personal friendships and when I'm at home.
Yeah.
I think I bring whole parts of myself, but not the complete full picture. Yeah, I don't bring all of B to the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that that's something I would want to do. I don't know. I guess I'm a very particular person, is I don't bring my whole self to certain relationships with people or certain, like, aspects or areas, because I don't... I'm guarded in that sense, so, like, I would never... I don't think I would ever bring my whole self to work anyway, unless I was, like, at home working for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... I struggle with the idea of, like, should people ever take their whole selves to work? I don't know. I always look at everything from the idea of, like, could vulnerability in this situation leave me hurt? Or, like, is vulnerability in this situation a negative? And I have been working very hard to detach my personal life from my work life. So, like, why would I want to be my personal self at work and not my work self? I don't know. It's an interesting mm-hmm. thing to think about. I don't ever feel uncomfortable, like, I never felt uncomfortable being like, I need to take a mental health day. Whether it's something like a cultural thing that they've explained is okay for everyone to do or not. Like, I don't, mm-hmm. like, my level of, like, if I'm really low and, like, really depressed, like, there's not a thing you could tell me. Like, you're not going to fire me from my job. And I guess that's the mindset I always have. Like, I'm such a good employee that you're not going to fire me from my job. And, like, if it came to that, I would have no issue fighting that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, now, I guess since I, like, went through the process of interviewing, I did think I did a better job of bringing parts of my whole self that I hadn't brought before, of, like, my blackness, or, like, things that are important to me, or, like, things that I'm not going to do, like, working in community engagement. Like, I'm not going to be your token black person that knows what every black person in the city of Philadelphia goes through, because we're mm-hmm. not a monolith. I was not born and raised in this city, so what do I know? What do I know about anything? About
ain't that the
about
truth.
Anyone's experience, black or white. So I think I did a better job of bringing that self to my interviewing process. So I think that played a good part in me getting the position that I did get. And, like, I do recall after my first in-person interview being like, they're either gonna absolutely love me, that I kept it, like, really real and brought these parts of myself, or they're gonna absolutely hate it and be like, that's not what we want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. That's interesting. I'm really guarded, so I don't know.
Yeah, and it's like, I bring this up in, like, response to, especially, like, when you look at, like, newer companies and even at some nonprofits, there's this idea of trying to make better work, more transparent workspaces, and taking away some of that, like, corporate shield that has just been a part of American work culture for so long, and to attract especially millennials, they try to create this atmosphere of being more open and inclusive, and that all points of view when your full self really matters. And so when a company's saying all that stuff to you, I know I take it with a grain of salt. And I know that there's certain things I know I can be real truthful about. And I can, you know, if someone is harassing me in the workplace, I know I can feel like I can say something in those spaces. Or if I'm uncomfortable with a way, like, and not even taking it to, like, to even to that extreme of, like, if I'm not liking the working relationship with the person that I report to, I know I could voice my concerns and bring ideas of how we can fix it, you know? But like in response, like companies are trying to be more this way and they want employees to do the same way. And I feel that, our white counterparts can do that, or have an easier time doing that. And there's a higher, like there's more at risk for us for giving too much of ourselves. And that being it being used against us or being exploited or taking the wrong way. And we are always asked to think about the feelings of the majority, even when asked with the task of being vulnerable. So it stops me from doing those things. And having some bad experiences of being more vulnerable makes it hard to be vulnerable again. And so I don't even want to make those bad experiences happen, because I don't even want to, because like that could completely color and change the way that you look at your job. You end up having that one bad experience where they take something the wrong way. You can go from I'm content to work to coming here 40 hours a week to I need to get out as soon as possible. So like to even protecting your sanity of wanting to go in and out of that place to keep the paycheck that you need to keep your life going, you might have to put those guards up. And so I guess the advice is to do it with, to open yourself to the individuals that are worthy of that, that you trust for that, but then also always find that, try to find your cohort. If it's not even inside of your office, a cohort that's outside of it, of people that think that you can share. That's what I'm searching for right now. It's like I need to reconnect with people from Philly and other people that I've networked with before and talk to them about the stuff that I still care, like that I care about, that I might not be able to do inside of my office, but I know that I have the safe space to do it, to have those conversations in. Like here, we're doing it right now. I mean, talking about it in this space, and like I suggest for all of y'all who are listening, like if you're to talk with your peers that you're comfortable with about these things, about how you feel in your workspaces.
Yeah. I mean, there's someone. I mean, look, we all experience microaggressions. It literally is unavoidable, seeing how everything is built on a system of white supremacy and capitalism and the patriarchy and just straight up trash. So you will experience them, unfortunately, even from your other coworkers of color. So do find that coworker, or maybe someone that doesn't work directly with you but in a similar setting that you can talk to about everything you experience on the job. It's important. And then, hey, maybe you'll get a really, really good friend out of it, and then you'll start a podcast, and then they'll come and visit you, and then who knows?
Yay. Make a friend and start a podcast is our advice all the time. All right. Well, that's you better work this week. Yeah. Think about those questions. Think about what those parameters are for you to feel comfortable to peel more of yourself off at your job. Or not at all.
Yeah.
And it's like the one last little point. It's like also the difference between if you're working at a place that is more connected to your passion and your mission. I feel like that's where that can come into play even a little bit more versus a job that is merely for the paycheck of I'm providing a task for the outcome of my paycheck and like having those two different dichotomies of how you go into work. And that comes into play. This idea of bringing your whole self comes into play more when you're invested in that full mission or purpose.
Yep. And yeah, I think that's a lot of times where you can see if you feel uncomfortable bringing your full self or you feel stilted in an organization where you initially wanted to work there because it fit your mission, you can become resentful and bitter if you don't have an outlet. So, find someone to talk to, friends. You know how we feel about talking to people about your issues and your strifes, so. All right, that was a good You Better Work. I enjoyed that this week. It hit very close to home and will be interesting coming into a new job. Though I will say I don't have a staff, really. I'm not part of like a full staff. So that is actually an exciting bit of this new journey that I'm about to embark on. Okay, you guys, not only did we have a You Better Work this week, but we also have a Check It. So I'm gonna preface this very quickly, as opposed to my normal rambling, with a conversation that I had in group therapy 2 weeks ago. We were talking about, if you don't remember, it's a fat positive group, a body positive group, so it's a group of fat women that talk about their existence in the world and how they exist in their bodies and blah, 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 blah. And we were talking about exercise in our bodies and whether we like it, we don't, adapting to that, how moving can make you feel better, how moving isn't just for thin people, and you can decide how you move or when you move or all of that great stuff. But it was, I knew it was going to be a tough conversation for me because, as we've talked about many times on here, I have a wishy-washy relationship with exercise, and a lot of that has to do with my really competitive nature. Which is always a really hard thing for me to admit. That's something I always said I never wanted to be. But I am very competitive, and I'm very competitive with myself specifically. And, you know, looking through the internet, and it's really cool in my group therapy, we share a lot of articles and a lot of things we read about the topics we talk about and about other people talking about this. And I was reading this one article and it helped me stumble upon this another amazing article on Your Body Is Not an Apology, and it's titled We All F Up, The Importance of Loving Yourself Even When You Disappoint Yourself. And a lot of really big points that are really important that I just want to like graze over. We will be sharing this on social media. I already have the post queued up to share on Facebook, so you can check it out and read the full thing. But with my competitive nature, the thing that really stood out to me is that self-love is not an achievement. It's a practice. And as someone that thinks of everything as something that needs to be productive, like there's an end goal, there needs to be an end product, there needs to be, you know, set dates and deadlines and blah, 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 blah. Thinking of it, shifting the idea of self-love as like, suddenly you love yourself and everything is great. But really shifting it as to a practice is, that means you always have to work on it. You'll always be working on it. You work on it until you die. And that is how I'm going to continue to try to look at it. Because it's hard and it's annoying and it's difficult and we slip up. And like this article says, you do things that disappoint yourself. You do, you know, set a goal and you don't reach it. You do say that you're going to cut this toxic person out of your life, but you don't. You say you're not going to go back to your ex, but you do. You blah, 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 blah. You say you're going to go to therapy, but you still haven't yet. Like, we do. We all do it. We all do things. We're like, ugh, I know I shouldn't. Or, ugh, I know I said I was going to do this positive thing, but I haven't yet. Or I'm too lazy or whatever. But it's, you can still practice self-love in those moments. You can still love yourself in those moments. And a lot of that is by admitting your mistake, admitting the thing that you said you didn't do, admitting that you didn't do XYZ just because you were lazy, and try again. Try a different accountability system, try involving a friend that you trust and hold close into it to also help hold you accountable. We've talked about many systems that we've implemented that work and that don't work to hold ourselves accountable for things. And surround yourself with people that help feed into your self-love, which again is easier said than done. You don't always recognize how maybe negative or toxic someone could be to your self-love practice and your self-love journey until later, or it's too late, or they do something that really shows their true selves. But if you can, if you've pinpointed a few people, make that community, make that a known thing that you are practicing. Be vocal about it, talk about it. And yeah, that's what I have about, you know, we can love ourselves even when we disappoint ourselves. It's a great reminder for us, especially I thought in terms of Black Girls Laughing, because we're always talking about our goals with you guys. So, you know, sometimes we disappoint ourselves. I've been disappointing myself lately. I don't know how Brittany is doing on her goals. But I know.
Oh, I mean, I've been failing all over the place.
It happens.
Yeah, it totally happens. But it's always about picking yourself back up. Yeah.
And it's tough. It's not, no one is saying picking yourself back up and trying that goal again is easy at all or ever. We know that and we understand that. So this is a great article, and I'm excited, and I hope you all check it out and read it when we share it.
Awesome. Yeah. Speaking of goals, I tried for the month of May to eat a plant-based diet, and I totally failed. Between a death in my family and traveling and a lot of different things that I can use as an excuse, I took those as excuses and did not put my diet as a priority. But I'm going to keep on trying. And maybe it's not just a 30-day goal and it's just a month and done. Maybe it needs to morph into how many days can I eat green without failing? And just trying to beat those best marks every time. So yeah, I'm trying to rethink about that. And like a part of, you know, being able to pick yourself up is also like reevaluating the goal. Maybe the way that you've put it together as a way of achieving it was maybe you've set yourself up for failure, and that maybe isn't achievable in that way. And so that's where it's always important to regroup and refocus the goal in a different way. So maybe it's not, let's do 30 for, and so in that, you know, plant-based diet example, you know, maybe it's not the month of June I eat a plant-based diet. It's how many days can I? And next month, can I beat it?
Yeah. It's all.
Thank you for another great check it and bringing this article to us.
Yeah. You know me. Digging through the internet for self-love articles.
Okay, guys, it's time for another riveting edition of Anxiety Corner, where we take 2 minutes to be anxious about all the bullshit that is the world today. Yeah. I have been asked to go first.
All right.
Yay.
You can go in 3, 2, 1. Boop.
So when are we going to hold white leaders accountable to the white violence that keeps on going on? And this past week, we've had 3 people murdered by white supremacists, white nationalists. One black man was murdered while he was just standing at a bus stop waiting for an Uber a week away from graduation. He was stabbed by a random assailant. Another two men were murdered in Portland, Oregon. They were on the bus while this maniac berated 2 women of color, one wearing a hijab, for existing. And these 2 men stepped in trying to break this up, and they were stabbed to death. And I've heard nothing from the president, from Beauregard Sessions, from any state or federal official about what has happened. And then to add to it, we have a man running to be the congressman to Montana, body slamming a reporter because he did not like the question he was being asked, because he was asked to actually talk about what he was planning to do to millions of people with this new healthcare bill. And he decided to body slam him. And instead of the Republican Party condemning his actions, the people are saying that he deserved to be body slammed. That reporters, that journalism, for the act of asking questions is enough for violence to be put against you. So all the checks and balances of our world are just gone. When are we going to hear from them? When are we going to hold them accountable for this bullshit?
The answer is never, by the way.
Okay. That was so much fun. I hope you can hear the sarcasm in my voice. It's so great to do 2 minutes of anxiety filled amazingness. All right, you ready? All right, you'll be going in 3, 2, 1, go.
So, as I had a conversation with a friend the other day about everything, every day it feels like we wake up and say, what's next? What's next? What are we going to do next? And now we have a proposed cut of the educational budget at $9.2 billion, or 13.5% of the budget. It would not only hit college students, as we've heard threatened over and over again, it would also hit kindergarten through high school students. It's crazy to think about this. An example of our failing school system already would be Philadelphia Public Schools. I now, in my small town, can see how the funding has now hit rural Erie County. They are closing two very well-attended, very well-known public schools and now busing students to one school. And their options are being stripped away from them as students of where they go to school, and they now have to go across the city. They want us to be dumb. They want our kids to be mindless. They want our kids to not be fed. They want us to be dumb. They want to control us, and they're going to do everything in their power to ensure that everyone is even more ignorant than they clearly are to vote these people in, to ensure that they can control every single bit of you, which is crazy to think about because, you know, the people that vote people like Donald Trump in don't want the government to have any control over them, but you're not funding your schools, so you'll just be brainless without schools with guns, and I hope to not be here for any of it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, they succeeded in making too much of our populace dumb. Just stupid.
Stupid.
Already. Even without these cuts.
Yeah, but it's like on another level. On another level.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. Yeah, it's... I'm rubbing my head. But we can't talk about it anymore because Anxiety Corner's over, so we should move on.
All right. Let's move on to fun things.
Fun things.
Like the throwback jam.
Yes! I bet y'all missed this. I missed this.
Music has been, like, keeping me alive. And I love this radio station at my job, in Colorado Springs, because they play a lot of old school hip hop and R&B. And they just, like, keep it, like, awesome all the time. And that's why I always, like, yeah. Anyway, so the other day, I've been driving. I've been afraid of driving, but I've been driving because Jordan went away, so I had to drive this past week. And so it was great. It got my confidence back up. I love driving around in my car now. It's great. But this song came on, and I just started, like, grooving. Just, like, moving side to side, having a great time. And it's, My Prerogative, Bobby Brown. That's my prerogative. I just love all of the things that he does in this, have you watched the video recently? Cause I'm, like, looking at it right now, and he's, like, dancing. It's like a concert. You got these fine girls playing the whatever that's called, the piano guitar and the saxophone. And I don't know, I just love the song because it's my prerogative. Everybody's talking all this about me. I just love the song. And I just love, there's just this one line. He says, it really gets me down. It's my, like, his cadence, all the fun shit that he does. It's just so much fun. I love the song. And I'm so pissed that Britney Spears did the first cover of this song. Because it wasn't for her to do. Yeah, 2007 was hard for you, boo. But there was no need for you to do this song.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, it's so much fun. I like it. It makes me think of all, like, just the 80s, New Jack Swing, all of that. And just, it's the best.
It's my prerogative. It's my prerogative.
It really gets me down.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to listen to that after we're done recording. After we're done recording.
Oh my gosh. Which is, and just like watching him dance around too. He was like, it's like everything that you understand of like Chris Brown, Bobby Brown already did.
He done did it.
Like, he is the archetype of, like, the bad boy R&B singer.
Yeah. You know, with the misogyny and the physical abuse.
Yep. And the... Oh, well, yes. That's not even... Oh, man. Man! Now I feel... Like,
sorry.
Now I'm like, man, I can't like this.
Sorry. No, I read this really good thing.
God
I
damn.
Mean, everyone you love is problematic. There's no one that isn't. There's no one. There's no one.
Yeah, your fave's problematic. It's the truth.
So, we just...
But I was going to pull this in isolation and just love it.
But I always say you can't truly love something if you refuse to... constructively criticize it. Constructively is the key word there. Constructively criticize it. And you can't, you can love Bobby Brown, but you also, as a black woman, not talk about how he's problematic as a black, as a person. But specifically as a black woman, as most of his abuse was towards black women.
Yeah.
It's the world we live in. We just gotta not love things, but also, you know, as I say, stay woke.
All right. One more segment to go. Let's do it. Giggle, cackle, roar.
All right, and we're gonna round it up and round it out with giggle, cackle, roar. What you got, Brittany? What you got?
What do I have? I have a few things. But the one thing that I want to cackle about the most, after talking about all of the crap that is after Anxiety Corner, it actually is very fitting. So, when you were in middle school, did you go on a 8th grade trip to Washington, D.C.?
Yes. Who doesn't? I feel like everyone does.
Yes. Like, everyone does. Especially if you're, like, in the East Coast area, you're going to go to Washington, D.C. for your, like, rite of passage 8th grade trip. So, these kids from New Jersey, from the South Orange Middle School in New Jersey, they went on their 8th grade trip. And they were in front of the, they were in front of Congress last week. And no other than the House Speaker, Paul Ryan, came by. And he was like, oh, let's all take a picture, you know. Let's do it for the gram. Because, you know, everyone's a social media person. And all the kids are like, some of the kids are like, yeah. And 150 of the kids are like, nah, bruh. I don't need a picture with your ass. So they proceeded to cross the street and watch the other kids take the picture with them. And one of the kids was like, no, I can't. This little kid, Matthew, was like, I don't want to be associated with a man who puts his party before his country.
Ooh,
from the mouths of babes.
From the mouth of babes.
I don't like to take a I don't like to take a picture with somebody that I can't associate with. Let's say somebody is not nice to me at school, for example. I wouldn't take a picture with them. And I was like, yeah, little boy, you're right. And 150 of these kids, about half of the kids, like 300 kids were out there. Half of them were like, no.
No, thank you.
I'm happy that these 13-year-olds recognize that I don't care if you are the Speaker of the House. I don't agree with your politics. And I can't even vote yet, but I know that your ass is trash. So, yes, the cackle goes to those babies. Yes.
They deserve all of it. They do what some sad basic adults wouldn't. When will your faves ever to these babes?
No.
They deserve.
Love those kids. They
deserve it all.
What you got?
I also have a cackle. Unfortunately, the wonderful babes that are standing up for themselves and learning how to really commit to a belief system are not being treated appropriately in a classroom or in classrooms by their professors. I mean, we've seen black girls get dragged out for looking at their phones. We've seen it all. Or feels like it felt like it doesn't. It always feels like it when you read something. It feels like you saw it all. But thanks to an awful, awful teacher, and named Stacy Luckett. Full disclosure: Stacy Luckett from a junior high school in Texas decided it would be cool to do spoof awards. So we did spoof awards in high school. We did most sarcastic. We did like social media person. We did like silly things like class clown. You know, most likely to be an athlete or succeed as whatever. But this teacher decided it would be really funny to do really insensitive and really gross and really disgusting awards, like most likely to be a terrorist, most likely to blend in with white people. I saw something about like most likely to cry and like and situation when they're called out or something like that. Just all really, really, really gross.
Oh my gosh.
Really gross awards. And I saw people commenting and being like, well, what kind of school is it? And it's actually a college prep school. So it's a higher learning school. It's for the, I guess you could say, academically elite students, preparing them for university life, and this is what they received: most likely to blend in with white people. I really am like still trying to digest that award and like all the implications that comes with that. And I believe the young girl that received the most likely to be a terrorist award is Latina. So, in Texas. So that just adds to everything that we're going through. And I'm really glad that the students and their parents are talking about this and not being like, this is really uncomfortable. Or, like, telling their kids, like, oh, hopefully you won't have that teacher again. But being like, no, let's publicly shame this woman because she deserves to be publicly shamed. This is where your students are spending the majority of their day. They should feel safe and comfortable and taken care of. And clearly, Stacy Luckett is not creating that sort of environment. So hopefully I'll be cackling soon at her being fired. with.
Yeah.
So you guys keep your eyes out. I'll keep my eyes out. If you see that she gets fired before we do, tweet us or Facebook us. But I'm really glad that the students and parents are talking about this. So I'm what the cackle is at is just at the like continuous audacity of white people. Just never ending.
They're just so bold.
So bold.
They've been extra bold.
So bold. So bold. Yeah. That's
one more thing. One little giggle I want to just bring up. So I've talked about Steven Universe before. I love that show. And I'm so excited because this Friday, they're releasing an album. The Steven Universe album will be out on Friday. And if you're looking for some, if you're looking for some fun music to give you, to get you all up in your feelings, but then also feel like really happy and just, you like to sing and you like good voices, pick it up. I've already pre-ordered it, so I cannot freaking wait for me to get it on Friday. And then today, on this Monday, Memorial Day, they are having an hour-long, like, film. Like an hour-long special. Like, and I'm just so giddy for more lore, more stories, new songs. Oh my gosh. You know, Patti LuPone's been on it. She plays one of the diamonds, and her songs have been the illest.
I love Patti LuPone, so that does not at all surprise me. I really need to get back into that world.
Get back into
it.
I,
like, fell out.
Get back. It is so good. Like, tears, crying. Like, because of all of the feelings, all the new storylines, all of the love, all of like the lessons learned. It's just a beautiful freaking thing. So yay, Steven Universe.
We all know I suck at TV. One day I'll be good, you guys. One day.
Just get the album. Love the songs. You don't have to watch the show to love it.
I actually watched in its entirety so far. The Keepers. Yo.
What's The Keepers?
It's about how Catholic. Listen, I almost started that off with like some fighting words, but it's about trigger warning, sexual abuse and Catholicism, and how it led to the murder of a nun who was a teacher as she was about to expose the men who were a part of the abuse.
Oh yeah. Shit. Where did you see that? Netflix. Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, I don't even remember how I stumbled upon it, but I was like, what is this? And then all of a sudden someone else posted it on Facebook and I was like, okay, so I'm not the only one who like found this crazy show and was like immediately sucked in of like it's like it feels like it should be like a fake true crime show, but it's real. It's very real. And that's like the part of that makes it like kind of spooky.
Yeah.
So that's my plug for a TV show I've actually watched from beginning to end. Look at me doing it.
Watching television, taking time to just let your brain go.
What's that?
Oh, I've been watching The Bachelorette. Ooh. I watched the first episode of The Bachelorette last week. Because it's a black bachelorette, and I was very intrigued. I'm going to be continue to watch it. It's fucking trash. It's the trashiest. But it looks like it's going to get so messy. Like, the best part of watching the first episode was watching, like, the preview for the rest of the season. And it's going to be crazy. Ew. Is it good for the culture? No. Will it be fun to watch? Maybe. If you're looking for black love to come out of this, I highly doubt it. But it's interesting to finally see a black woman helm the show, because, like, really the only other black woman to ever lead like a dating show like this is like New York. So, and like that show is like a parody of The Bachelorette. So to finally see us do like have the original, it's gonna be interesting.
How dare you call Tiffany Pollard and I Love New York a parody of The Bachelorette? I'm laughing.
Flavor of Love was a parody of The Bachelor.
No, it was American Gold.
What was so freaky about watching The Bachelorette this week, though, is that I didn't know, I did not recognize how focused it was on marriage. So everyone's like, I'm going to be her future husband. I'm like, what? You just met her. How does anyone think that marriage is going to come out of this? It's so weird. But maybe she'll be the second Bachelorette to actually end in marriage. Because like the first one actually ended in marriage. Maybe this time around, there'll be an actual wedding. We'll see. I doubt it. It's super, like, been weird. One of the guys asked her when he first met her, well, said, like, I'm excited to go black and I don't expect to ever go back. And I would have slapped someone if someone said that to me. If some white guy said that to me, I would have just slapped him right in the face. But she took it, like, as a cute joke. I mean, maybe in that, like, I don't know. But I was like, girl. It's weird. It's weird. I've been reading all of the different articles of people's thoughts on it. We should, yeah, if you're watching The Bachelorette, please share your thoughts with us. I want to know how people feel, if you feel as icky as I feel. But there's also this new Shondaland show that's like fan fiction for like Romeo and Juliet. It's called After Star-Crossed Lovers or like Always Star-Crossed or something. I don't know the name of it. It starts tonight. I'm going to try to watch it. It comes on Mondays and it's a new Shondaland show. It starts right after Romeo and Juliet die. What happens next? Oh. How do the Montagues and the Capulets cope and, you know, battle it out. So yeah, if you're a Shakespeare nerd and you like Shondaland and you like seeing black people on television and you want to see it in like a period, like in a weird like kind of period piece, like we're never in stuff like that. We're always in like, you know, or you know, like we're barely in Game of Thrones. We're only slaves in Game of Thrones, and we're never in that type of those type of telling. So that's cool. I'm interested to see what happens. I was a huge Shakespeare nerd as a teenager, so let's see how this goes.
Yeah.
It's like all those versions of like you they just did Romeo and Juliet on Broadway, and like Felicia Rashad's daughter played Juliet. And so like they like to play with like race in that. So I think it's sort of like taking on all of those like recent stage productions and then doing more with it and like what happens next. So
yeah. Well, y'all will have to check in with Brittany on that, because we all know I will not be watching that, and not from lack of wanting to.
Of course not.
It's just that I probably won't.
Yeah, well, I'm so bored here sometimes. I gotta watch the TV. I miss my friends. I've been wanting to do karaoke so bad.
Yeah.
I want to make that happen.
Well, when you come in July.
I've been wanting to dance with... I have no one to go dancing with. I need someone to go dancing with.
Do they dance in Colorado?
Say line dance.
Okay. Like country western line dance. So y'all can find us on the internet at Black Girls Laughing, at BLK Girls Laughing with no G on Twitter, facebook.com/Black Girls Laughing, www.blackgirlslaughing.com. You can send us an email at blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com. Yeah. That's us on the internet.
And don't forget about that live show, July 23rd at Tattooed Moms, 6 p.m. Be there. We can't wait to meet
you. We will be creating a Facebook event, so, you know, let us know if you're coming or if you want to come.
Yes.
If you click interested and we get closer to the date, you will receive a message saying, so are you coming or nah? All right, guys. See you later.
Bye.